Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Still stuck on hold and paying too much for insurance? Switch to M&M Insurance Agency. Real people, real options, real savings. Call 601-651-6001 or visit M&MInsuranceAgency.net today.
What's up, everybody? Welcome in on this Wednesday edition of the podcast. My name is Michael Borky, sitting in my hotel room in Tampa. I was going to do all of these from our table downstairs, but the way it's set up this year is interesting. So we have our own floor and all that stuff, but it's a busy hotel lobby and there's multiple restaurants and there's just a lot going on. There's people walking around and I don't know if I had the privacy that I would like doing it down there. So we're in my hotel room. It's fine. We're going to get through it together, have some fun tonight on this edition of the show. Ole Miss made their rounds at SEC Media Days today. That's what we're talking about tonight. What did you hear? What did you like? All that good stuff. I got the three-player interviews. I'm not going to play them for you tonight. I'm going to separate those out. So I'll bring you Trinidad tomorrow. I will do Kiwan and Will over the next couple of days as well. You'll like them all. You will love, and I truly mean love, the Trinidad interview. I'll get to more of that later, but those are coming later on. We're just talking tonight. I'll bring you the interviews the next 3 days after this one, but they were excellent, as you can imagine. And the other day. Maybe not. I don't know. But I had an interaction with a national media member while getting coffee earlier today. And he looks at my name tag. He's like, "Do you cover Ole Miss?" I said, "Yeah." He goes, "Who the hell's Will Eccles?" And I was taken aback. I was like, "What do you mean?" He's like, "Who's Will Eccles? I don't know this guy. I know Kiwan and Trinidad, but I don't know Will Eccles. Who is he?" And I thought to myself, you know, I get it. It's a quarterback-driven sport. National media is hard to keep up with a bunch of players. But I feel like if you're having to ask who Will Eccles is, you're behind. It was spectacular by the end of last season, projected to be a first-round pick. I was really taken aback by the fact that a national media member was asking me that question of all questions. But that was a weird interaction I had today. You will like that interview with him as well. But anyway, good stuff. We'll talk about all that and more on this edition of the show. Don't forget to subscribe right here, wherever you get your podcast. Just search Rebel Report and subscribe. And if you like what you hear, leave a rating and a review. And this edition of the show is brought to you by Scruggs Farm, Lawn, and Garden in Saltillo, Mississippi. Anything that you could possibly need. And when I say that, it's not hyperbole. I mean, I've been to the store many times. We do live remotes with our radio show there all the time. They're incredible people. I can't think of something that they do not have. Anything for inside of the house, outside of the house, the cheapest beer in town, great clothes and boot selection as well, but anything for your yard, your garden, your hunting property, appliances, whatever the case may be. If you need it, they've got it. And they especially have America's tractor or America's lawnmower, a John Deere, 0% financing on all of these things right here. 0% on zero turn mowers, on commercial mowers, compact tractors, 5 series tractors, and just 1.9% on a John Deere Gator. Go to Scruggs. It's worth the drive if you're in North Mississippi. I promise you, they've got everything that you could possibly need. It is worth the drive. I would encourage you to do it. Tell them that it was me that sent you there. And yeah, go check out Scruggs, bringing you tonight's edition of the show. Okay. Pete Golding was awesome. So I'll start there. Pete Golding in the big room, Pete Golding in the breakout room. He was awesome. And that probably doesn't surprise you guys. You've seen some interviews. A lot of you have gone to the fan events that they've been having over the last few weeks as well. And you know that he is super engaging, right? So you've seen it, you've heard it. A lot of people, though, got their introduction to Pete Golding today, and he shined. And that's not just like some dumb, you know, Mississippi radio guy opinion. That is what all of the columns wrote about today that that was he was the winner of the day and so far the week. And does that mean anything? Probably not. No, it doesn't really mean anything. He opened up a lot of eyes today in the media and in the college football space. I don't think people expected what they got from Pete Golding today. They should have, but you know, people that are not local may not have understood what they were about to get with Pete Golding. So, I mean, he was thoughtful with his answers. He didn't give coach speak BS. He gave really detailed responses. I know there were some people that were mad about Dan Wolkin's question. I disagree with the anger of that. As a reporter, you push a little and you ask those questions, and then you get a phenomenal answer from Pete Golding. So that was good that question was asked the way that Dan Wolkin asked it. Far be it for me to say that. He has me blocked on Twitter, and I'm giving him credit because you got a phenomenal answer. So he was good there. I thought his thoughts on Lane Kiffin were certainly interesting. They were long-winded, and I know fans want him to hate Lane so bad. And he has been very public with how he has said he has disagreed with a lot of the way he has conducted or the way he conducted himself and, you know, told him not to leave. And, you know, he's publicly disagreed. But what's best for Ole Miss, and it starts at the top with Pete Golding, is to talk the way that he did today about Lane Kiffin and about LSU. If he stood behind that podium today, and there's no love lost there. No, I haven't talked to Lane. And like started ripping on him publicly. That would be a really bad look, in my opinion. That would be small time. That would be a program that's focused in the rearview mirror or focused on one game and not focused on the process from the day to day. I think that is the best path forward for Ole Miss, for Ole Miss fans even. And I'm not saying that you should go on September 19th and not make funny game day signs and create one of the most intense atmospheres that you possibly could. And I know that you will. I'm not saying don't do those things. But as I said before, and I feel bad harping on stuff like this, but there's too much like food in town being named after Lane Kiffin in a negative way. That like that's got to stop. That stuff needs to go away. Are you a big-time program or not? And Pete Golding talked about something like that, like the leader of a big-time program. That is the thing that stood out to me the most is he was like, hey, look, I've got fans that ask me, you know, what do you really think about him? And he gave me an opportunity. He was good to my family. I have this, like, I'm thankful for the job that he gave me. I learned a lot from him. You know, we still communicate. And, you know, like, I want to talk about my team, I'm moving on. That was a great answer. It was long as well. If I were LSU's SID, I would encourage the same kind of stuff out of their contingent as well. Is everything he said the truth? I don't believe that it is. I don't know that. Nobody's told me that. I don't necessarily think that like they're best buddies and they're going to give each other a big hug and a pat on the butt. And like, they just love each other and everybody that thinks that there's no, like nothing was wrong. And I don't buy that, but I do think that the way that it is being talked about from him is the exact right path moving forward. And I hope that Ole Miss continues with that messaging about Lane Kiffin, about that game. Things were really good. They won a lot of games. I've said this in private conversation, although it turned into trolling years later. I think that Lane Kiffin elevated fan behavior at Ole Miss. Atmospheres in the stadium are better because of the things that he said early on. It went from challenges to trolling, but won a lot of games. A lot of good stuff happened. You're a big-time program now. Act like it. Don't look in the rear view. Look out the windshield. Pete Golding did that today. That's a good place to be right now. I was really impressed by the way he handled the Kiffin stuff today, for sure. But all that stuff aside, you guys watched it all. You saw it. Funny, interesting, engaging, detailed. But that doesn't really matter, right? I say that myself. Hand up. I'm guilty of it. What happens here doesn't matter. It doesn't impact winning. It doesn't change anything about on the field. I kind of make fun of the idea of a post-media days, you know, power ranking, and you will get that. You will get that. And it's absurd. But I do think you can learn things here. Not much, but some things. And what after Pete Golding got hired in this state, I'm sure you guys saw it and you have been pestered with it from your state fan friends, that Pete Golding's just like Zach Arnett. It's Zach Arnett 2.0. He's going to suffer the same fate, blah, 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 blah. We've heard that from state fans. They're trying to draw the comparison between Pete Golding and Zach Arnett. Well, one of the main criticisms of Zach Arnett in his 1 year as the head coach at Mississippi State was after he got the job, he stopped being himself, that he was unrecognizable. And tried to change his persona and the way he acted and the way he carried himself. And even things like sideline demeanor was noticeably different. The job changed him. He stopped acting like himself. And whether or not that's real, I don't know. But that is a very common criticism from state people that when he got the job, he couldn't handle the job. He wasn't comfortable at all. And does this mean anything about what happens this season? I guess not. But what you did not see today was somebody that is uncomfortable. You didn't see somebody that was trying to be somebody else, that was trying to be not Pete Golding, that he seemed authentic and real and unfiltered, but most importantly, comfortable. He was comfortable talking about difficult things. He was comfortable talking about being a head coach. He was comfortable behind a podium in that, I mean, it's a big room. You know, these guys coach football in front of 100,000 people or whatever, but that's a weird setting. And if you've never done that setting before, the first time can be a little rough. And it was not. It just completely comfortable within his own skin, completely comfortable talking about his process and standards and his team and how he handles it. And like, it was all just like, okay, this guy's not forcing it. This guy's not faking it. This is just, he's comfortable. And being in a state where we defensive coordinator get promoted to head coach in a similar-ish way, to see the other one be so uncomfortable, so not ready, so out of his element, not able to be still, to see Pete handle it like that today, I think can be an indicator. And also, I mean, you have three games, all three of which in the playoffs to go by. Those things, I think, are married to each other a little bit, because in all three of those playoff games, he had big decisions to make. Not only did he have to get the team ready through crazy circumstances, unimaginable circumstances, but in the games themselves, they had to make quick decisions that impacted the game. And even in the Tulane game, I know that, you know, that he didn't have to make any decisions that day because they beat the hell out of Tulane, as John Summerall said. He was really good today too. Loved him. But remember, Trinidad got hurt. And they had to navigate that. And then in the Georgia game, to kick long field goals or to go for it, you had timeout management, end of game management, all of those things, onside kick stuff, all of these decisions that they had to make, and it was fluid and smooth and comfortable. I mean, you look at the videos of, like, even things like in the post-game locker room. It's like he's been doing that for forever as a head coach, and he hasn't been. So that is something, when you watch all that go down and then you see him make the rounds today and carry himself the way that he did, I think that is that's something that we can look back on in a few months if they're having a really good season and say, hey, you kind of could feel that when he was walking around at Tampa, because he was completely unbothered by the new role that he has been thrust in. And that really stood out to me. Because you have the direct comparison of a Zach Arnett that didn't look and feel that way. And he did today. Very authentic, very him. not trying to be somebody he's not, even though he dresses a little bit better as a head coach, I suppose. I mentioned him earlier. You're going to like all the players you are, but I was, and I'll bring it to you on this feed tomorrow. It's already on the Super Talk YouTube channel, and obviously we played it on the radio show today. He joined us actually live on the radio show today. We didn't have to pre-record that one. But I knew he was smart. I knew he was mature and all that stuff. I have seen a lot of press conferences and things with Trinidad Chambliss, but the word that I would use to describe him the most as a person is present. He was incredibly present, and you'll notice that in the interview. He's truly listening to what I'm asking him. He's truly being thoughtful in his responses, and he's extremely self-assured, but not arrogant. Asked him a lot about pressure and things like that. And those are things that he has clearly thought about. He didn't give the coach speak answer, the 30 seconds. Well, I just got to focus on me. It was detailed and thoughtful, but present is the right word. And you'll see that I was just completely blown away at his maturity. I was completely blown away by his answers. And no wonder that the team loves him. And no wonder that in the biggest moments last season, after taking over as the starter, he delivered. And that all makes sense. And so I just was infinitely impressed by the maturity and the savvy and the intellect and the poise of Ole Miss's quarterback. You've seen it on the field, so you know that's real. But, man, I can't wait for you guys to see that tomorrow. And, I mean, you'll love Kiwan. And you'll love Will Echols. That they made good choices, but Trinidad's a one of one type player, I think, with perspective, maturity, everything. So he was spectacular and really stood out today in many different ways. So we'll read your comments after I tell you the podcast is brought to you in part by Logan Smith Shelter Insurance, 601-823-3500. Auto, home, life, or insurance for your business, 601-823-3500. Logan Smith will take care of you, again, anywhere in this state. Don't forget to tell him it was me that sent you there. He will give you great rates and great service because that is just simply what he does. Also, Priority One Bank, they make you their priority every single day with their online banking platform. It's outstanding. It's a one-stop shop. They have 16 locations here in Mississippi, local loan servicing and decision-making. It's in the name, Priority One Bank. Bank with me there at Priority One Bank. Really love Pete today. He does what he does. He absolutely killed it. I know you said we need to separate liking the guy from our feelings, but man, he is hard not to really root for. And look, you're exactly right. He's hard not to root for. Everybody but Clemson and LSU fans were really impressed by him today. And even some LSU fans were like, man, he's awesome. Because he is. He's funny. He's interesting. When you get him talking about football, he'll give you really detailed answers where you feel like you learned something about the game. I learn things when I listen to him talk about football, and that's impressive because most coaches don't even go there. You know, they don't try to get, they don't give away anything. They're hard to listen to. Kenny Dillingham is a guy that I would compare him to in terms of his answers. Anyway, I had to watch a lot of Kenny Dillingham ahead of Mississippi State's game against Arizona State the last 2 years. So, you know, we watched other coaches' press conferences and stuff like that. And he and Pete are similar in the way that they answer questions, football questions, without giving away like game plan, but also giving you an answer that makes you feel like you learned something. And you don't get that a lot from coaches. It's quite rare, to be honest with you. And does it impact whether they win or lose? No, but it does make people like them more. And frankly, it probably lengthens the leash a little bit. But I still maintain that you do have to separate, you know, you can't let you liking the guy impact your expectations for the team, but it certainly makes it a little bit sweeter when somebody that, you know, invests in the fans more, that is more detailed like this, that is more, a little bit more intentional. It's easier to like and appreciate the wins when it's somebody that engages the way that they do, for sure. So, Borky, good to see you. Loved Kiwan's response to all the LSU mess. I will say this, though. I'm going to defend the LSU questions a little bit. I told you guys, they're going to get a lot of them and try to ignore it as best you can. But if I covered LSU, I would ask, because the only chance you ever get to ask former Lane Kiffin players about Lane Kiffin, it's the only time you get to ask, is in that setting. I would have done the same thing had I been given the opportunity. I asked, we had a guy that covers Auburn on the show, on the radio show yesterday. I asked him about Jay Crawford. It's like, you know, Ole Miss got a guy from Auburn. Tell me about him. What, you know, what was he like for 2 years? And he gave a great answer about, you know, he's got elite traits and was, and has, you know, grown to be a really high quality player. He gave a really good answer. Because when else am I going to get the opportunity? And I mean, I didn't ask Golish about Jay Crawford because Golish didn't coach Jay Crawford. So, but I would have, if Golish was a coach of his last year. I think that that's a good setting for things like that. I would love to ask Dave Aranda about Keaton Thomas. So great responses from Kiwan. You knew they were coming, but I do understand why an LSU media member would ask about that. Because that's the only time they get that kind of an opportunity. But Kiwan answered it exactly the way that you're supposed to. This group, the four that represented Ole Miss today, did not care about looking backwards, really. There's a reference or two in there from Pete Golding, but by and large, it's mostly just, why did so many state reporters ask questions today and not many Ole Miss people? Just thought that was weird, especially with the players. Questions were all from opposing schools. Well, I guess I did just kind of explain it. Because, well, I don't remember Mississippi State reporters asking him that many questions, but maybe I missed it. There's a lot of those breakout rooms. But because there's reporters from all over the country here, and it's the only time you really get to ask questions of these coaches. So it doesn't bother me. At all. I mean, Pete Golding will have press conferences every week, you know, with Ole Miss only reporters, but this is a little bit of a different setting. And so it doesn't bother me much. I mean, you know, Jeff Lebby's going to get asked stuff by a lot of people tomorrow as well. You know, it's just what happens there. Heard them say it on SEC Network, but wanted to ask, did they really clap for him when he got done? That's so cool if they did. It did happen. It wasn't the entire room. To be honest with you, I'm going to put on my Big J journalism hat, though. I'm not a journalist, but I did go to journalism school once. That was surprising that happened, because that's not what you do in that setting. And so when I heard it, I thought, oh God, there's a bunch of people covering Ole Miss that clapped for the coach. That you can't do stuff like that. And I mean, you know, I don't weigh in much on media matters. I do think that there needs to be, as I've explained to you guys before, I do think that there needs to be a level of, in those kind of settings, professionalism and decorum. I think you have a responsibility when it comes to a platform, as best you can anyway. And, you know, clapping for a coach at a press conference ever is really bad form. If you cover a team professionally, if you're working media and you clap for a coach, there's something wrong with you. That's not what working media is or what it should be. That's just something you don't do. And so when I heard it, I thought, oh God, that's embarrassing, because you just shouldn't do that. It wasn't a bunch of Ole Miss media that actually did that. I was surprised because that room usually doesn't ever do stuff like that. And this one did. But man, I mean, every columnist and reporter has a lot to write about tonight because of that. And the SEC has, especially last year, had gotten stale. There's a lot of staleness. There's a lot of everybody's buttoned up, you know. Summerall, I mean, he kind of got buried today as a result, but I like that he's a little bit, you know, he's less buttoned up. He made the quip about, you know, the reporter's phone going off, and that was funny. And, you know, he uses the potty words and those kind of things. The league needs more edge. It's lost its edge. And we had two guys today that were a little bit edgy. And so maybe that inspired that. But that was weird to hear in that kind of setting. Usually don't buy the whole, I would be at this school or live in this town, even if I didn't play or coach line that gets thrown around too often, but I believe Pete means it. I do as well. I think that, I mean, depending on who they would have hired, I don't know this for sure. I think that Pete Golding would have stayed on to coach with at least a couple of the candidates that they had, and maybe not one, but no, I like let's say Lane goes to Florida, John Summerall goes to Ole Miss. I believe Pete Golding would still be the defensive coordinator at Ole Miss today. I don't know that for sure, but I do think that that is what would have happened. Chase hinted earlier in 24/7 that Pete and Lane don't necessarily have a buddy relationship. What's your opinion? That wouldn't surprise me. I mean, you know, it got weird there at the end, but I do believe, like, I don't think Pete wants to, you know, you know, toss Lane off of a tall building, you know. I think that a good answer was given today, and I think it's probably a lot more nuanced than the way it was said today, but. I mean, Pete has said multiple times. I mean, I think it was at spring meetings when he said Lane texts him like 12 times a day, and you know he only reads, you know, a very small amount of them. But I don't know. I to be honest with you, I don't particularly care, and not that it's wrong for anybody else to be talking about it. I just from my perspective, I think the only thing that matters is not worrying about it or relitigating things publicly. I think that it's the smartest thing for Ole Miss to do is to just keep eyes forward. Just eyes forward. What would be the thing? Which coach has more pressure on them September 19th? I think the answer is Pete Golding. He is at home. I think if, you know, if Lane loses that game, it will be rationalized by at least some people in his fan base that they will. Well, those were his players anyway. It takes time. Pete won't get anybody doing that. So, loved Sankey's glasshouse, a shot at Dabo. Hated his comments on officiating. Seems like the SEC is completely indifferent about officiating issues we see week in and week out. If I'd had time, and as I told you guys yesterday, I did not have time. I had 10 more questions / prompts that I wanted to get to with him. One of them was officiating because of the technology component. I wanted to ask about technology and why isn't football using it like soccer, tennis, baseball? They're all using this great technology. You're not. Why? That's what bothers me the most. Comment says the lunatic at AYS Sports thought the reference to Kentucky was a reference to the oh gosh, no, I'm not going there. I'm not going to talk about that because I don't know the details. I have not confirmed the anything about that, so I'm not going to go there. Pete Golding did not reference that at all. He referenced that they had a distracted football team against Kentucky, where the offense performed really poorly, because they did. They performed really poorly in Baton Rouge, and they performed really poorly in Gainesville. That was a team that was better than the 9-3 record that they had in the regular season, and that was a season filled with self-inflicted wounds. There is not that there's a laundry list of reasons why that team failed. And Pete Golding made no reference to a specific instant thing like that, that I think, frankly, it's irresponsible to be talking about, considering if you have a platform and it's something like that publicly, I don't think you should talk about it unless you know for sure, considering it's a pretty sensitive thing that involves a young woman. And I don't want to go there, and I'm not going to go there any further than that right there. No, he did not make a reference to that. They were a distracted team. They played like garbage that day. They played like garbage offensively against the good teams that they played that season. Even the big Georgia win, that was a defensive win. So that was a distracted football team. They got higher on their own supply. They thought they were a hell of a lot better than they were, and made the weird deal with Bentley. There was all kinds of stuff, all kinds of distractions that cost them that season. So no, he was not making reference to something like that behind a podium at SEC Media Days. There was all kinds of things that was wrong with that team. Big fan right here. Well, thanks, Zach. I appreciate you, man. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Quote of the day, the strength of the warrior is the warrior next to them. Like that. Sure, it'd be nice if someone would ask Lane tomorrow about the distractions during the contest. No, think about it from a professional standpoint. A game in the early part of the season 2 years ago being asked in a professional setting is unprofessional. That would just be, frankly, that would just be emotional fanboy question. Why was your team distracted in the Kentucky game 2 years ago? That's not what you do in a professional setting, in my opinion. So yeah, best thing media wise so far in Tampa, and worst. Okay. Best thing media wise and worst. The worst was a Feinbaum caller showing up trying to get in, like, and that being a story too. Like it was written about. Legend, the Feinbaum caller gets escorted out of SEC Media Days. I mean, why do we? Anyway, that's a conversation maybe for never. But I don't understand I respect Paul for building that. Like, man, he's making a killing because of that radio show. I don't understand how people consume that show. That's really what I'm getting at. I don't understand how a human being can sit down for 4 hours and listen to that. I have an old friend that used to, can you believe that a Feinbaum caller said this? It's like, that answer is always yes, I can believe that a Feinbaum caller said something stupid. Like, how people listen to that, I don't understand. And so, you know, building those people up to the point where they think that they should be allowed to walk into a media event is just, I mean, I'm so out on stuff like that. The best thing? I mean, Pete was freaking awesome today. But for me, it was the conversation with Trinidad. I think that was the best thing today. Not a journalist, but I did go to journalism school once. Quote Michael Borky. Yes, I did. I did once for 4 years, actually. What grade would you give Pete Golding's performance today? Oh, my God. I mean, it's an A+. When it comes to the podium and all that stuff, the stuff that you guys saw, as good as it could have been. Think it's Lane if they lose to Clemson? Oh, well, then, yeah, that changes the dynamic. Do you go to the beach yet? Yep. Yep. Man, we're starting school soon around Central Mississippi, boys. I don't know if you guys knew that, but summer is over for like in a week. So summer's over. Didn't mean to put you in a tough spot. Oh, you didn't, man. You're good. There's no problem at all. Worst is the idiots asking teams about random other SEC teams that don't play until November or October. I hear you. No one should ever ask another question referencing an Ole Miss game and Lane Kiffin unless it's related to a game played this fall or beyond. And that is why today I didn't ask any of the three players. You'll see those interviews. They've been asked about it enough. What more can they say? The closest I got to it was I asked Trinidad and Kiwan, you could have gone anywhere in the country for any amount of money, and you chose to stay. Why? So that's the closest I got. The Trinidad answer is already cut and posted on the Sports Talk Mississippi Twitter. If you guys are going to go check that out, that's already there. I've got cuts from all three of them, either already out or scheduled to be out. So go check those out if you want. And he gave an awesome answer. So that's the closest I got. But I wanted this to be about them, what they do off the field. Trinidad's a chef, by the way. He likes to cook. That's his thing when he's not doing football. Will Eccles rides horses. Kiwan Lacy goes to the shooting range. Like little things like that. I like hearing those. We talked about expectations, and we didn't talk about Lane Kiffin because that's over now. And I hope after today people will save that for at least a couple of weeks. I know the week of, but even the week of, if I were Ole Miss, if I were Kyle Campbell or whoever's advising these guys, I'm not worried about the coach. I am exclusively worried about the team I'm having to play. I don't care about what happened last year or the end of last year. I need to focus on doing my job the right way. Stuff like that. I would be completely done. This offseason, they did all the Vanity Fair, all those interviews, all that. I would let that hang out there forever. And just let that be the final act of this saga. But no, I mean, they got asked a bunch, and they were just, they were quite, all three players were quite dismissive. Just not worried about it. I thought Trinidad gave a nice, classy answer when asked about them. So, nah. I wouldn't even go down that road anymore, but it's not up to me. So there you go. I appreciate you guys being here. Really appreciate you. And I'll see you guys tomorrow. I'm not live tomorrow. We'll be packing up and getting ready to get out of here Friday morning, but I will schedule out Trinidad Kiwan and Will Eccles interviews on this feed, but they already are on the Super Talk YouTube. They're already there. So go ahead and check those out if you'd like, or you can wait. Either one, they will be there regardless. So I really appreciate you guys. Thank you for being here. Like all that stuff, subscribe, and I will see you guys with Trinidad tomorrow. See you then.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.